Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another fun and fur-filled hour of Fervently Speaking, hosted by pet lifestyle and industry expert Top Dog Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, the Top Dog has the knack for sniffing out and sharing information about products, services, activities, and news that improve the quality of life for pets and the people who love them, all in an inimitably entertaining style. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the Top Dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking and your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is Hump Day, my favorite day of the year. My favorite day of the week, I should say, and there's 52 of them in my year. Hump Day means Fervently Speaking on Blog Talk Radio, the Boomer and the Babe station. And this is where we get to, Fervently Speaking, if it's about fur, we're all over it. And most of you listening, it's all over you. I know it is over me. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have got a very interesting show that we're going to be doing today. Very controversial but important topic. I like to call it poor, pitiful me, and we're going to be expelling the myths and rehabilitating America's view about pit bulls. And joining us on the show in just a few minutes will be somebody who is very well-versed in being able to discuss this topic. Her name is Jessica Clemens. She's the executive director for Incredible, an organization that runs out of Las Vegas. So we'll get to Jessica in just a few moments. You can't hardly read a newspaper or listen to a newscast these days without hearing some kind of a dreadful story about pit bulls. About the things that they do, the things that the harm that they have been supposedly havocing over the population of America. And, you know, unfortunately, as is the case with most news stories, you tend to hear all the negative. You get the sensationalism. And I don't dispute that all the things that we're hearing are true in their essence, but there's usually stories behind the stories, and I want everybody that's listening to open up your minds and think about some of the things we're going to be discussing. I'm going to do something also that is different than I have on the past Fervently Speakings. I'm going to actually open up the lines, and I'm going to have my producer, Pete Peters. He's going to be listening in to see and ask you in advance what is your question or comment about this topic. And if it's germane to what we're talking about, we would love to hear from you. That number is 917-388-4162. I'll be repeating that throughout the broadcast. It's 917-388-4162. So now what I want to do is introduce you to our special guest, and this is a woman who, she could have been on last week's show, which was about women whose lives went to the dogs and men who had given up their lives to pursue their careers in the pet industry. Very interesting woman. Her name is Jessica Clemens. She has pioneered an organization, a 501c3 in Las Vegas, Nevada, called Incredible, and that is an organization that's dedicated to restoring the positive image of pit bull type dogs through education, awareness, and accessible services. Jessica Clemens, welcome to Fervently Speaking.
Thank you, Eileen.
So glad to have you on with us today. And you and I have discussed this is not going to be a sugar-coated episode, but hopefully what we will be able to do is to change some people's minds about what is possible and the best ways to be able to have pit bulls in their lives. So you're on board with that, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. So tell me this. First and foremost, let's talk about what is a pit bull. Because I think that people do have kind of a distorted view. A pit bull is not actually a breed, is it?
No, a pit bull is more of a kind of dog. It's kind of a general term. It can be used specifically to describe four breeds that make up the pit bull group. Those breeds would be the American Pit Bull Terrier, the American Staffordshire Terrier, the American Staffordshire Bull Terrier, and most recently, the American Bully. You do have some communities that think of up to 60 types or breeds of dogs as being pit bulls. And those can be bull mastiffs, French bulldogs. It really can be a general term.
Yeah. And I think that I want to go on record as saying that every dog has the capacity to be as good or as bad as they're allowed to be. Breeding takes a big toll in it. How people raise their dogs and what is allowable in terms of restrictions. There's a lot of different reasons why dogs could be considered, quote, good or bad. And all of the breeds that you just mentioned, why are they clumped together to be called pit bulls?
I don't know exactly why, those labels are put on specific dogs. A lot of people will just label them if they're kind of medium-sized, muscular, with big heads, short hair. They just kind of consider them to be a pit bull.
Yeah, I know I have one of my mixed breed dogs. Her name is Tracy, and I actually did a DNA test on her just for fun. One of the ones where you scrape the insides of their tongue or their cheek and send it in. It wasn't drawing blood. And I found out that she actually had some American Staffordshire Terrier in her. And when I started telling people that, all of a sudden this wonderful, beautiful, adorable, sweet dog that everybody knew and loved, I started getting these reactions like, you've got one of those? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And like, so what's the difference? The word wreaks havoc in people's minds. It's very prejudicial.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about why you got involved in this very specialized area of animal welfare, where you educate, create awareness, and provide access to services to improve the images of pit bulls. How did that come about for you?
Well, I had a lot of loss in my life, and with the support of my husband, he, said, I want you to go out and find what you're passionate about and what you're really here on this earth to do. So I started working with rescue, and the rescue that I was working with was an all-breed rescue, but they happened to have a lot of bully breeds at the time. About the same time, I also adopted a pit bull mix, and then shortly after, I adopted a pit bull as well. So in working with my own dogs and being out in public with them and even talking to people that I knew, people in my family, I saw that there was a huge need for education and accessible services for the owners of these dogs and the general public. I can't tell you how many times I've been out in public with a foster dog or a rescue dog or even one of my own dogs, and little children who really should have no concept of what breed a dog is have run away from me screaming, oh my gosh, it's a pit bull. Mommy says they rip the faces off of children. And those kind of things, just, as a dog owner and as a community member, I just think, oh my goodness, what misinformation have you been given? And here I am sitting in front of you and your children, and I have three pit bulls, and they're all wonderful. No one's missing their faces. So it was just something that I saw was a great need in our community. There's some great rescue organizations that work on behalf of bully breeds here in Las Vegas, and I really just saw the missing piece was education as well as accessible services. The number of dogs being turned in at our shelters has gone through the roof with the economy being the way that it is, and Las Vegas, like many cities, has been very hard hit with the foreclosure tragedy, and so we just saw that people need help with their dogs, and if we can help people to get their dogs vaccinated or get their dogs spayed and neutered to be in compliance with local laws, and we can offer low-cost services such as training classes so that if you're having behavior issues with your dog, you come to us and we rectify that, and then you're not taking your dog and surrendering them at the shelter.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not sure about Las Vegas. When I go around the country, I normally will stop over at different shelters or what's known as the pound and speak with different rescue groups. And the number of dogs that when I look at them, that I can say, yeah, that dog's got some pit in them. And that's not a negative. It's just an observation. Is
sure.
growing in leaps and bounds. So I wonder, do you find that owners of this type of dog, by and large, do not practice spaying and neutering as much as maybe some other breeds do? Is that something that you can generalize, or is it off base?
I don't know. I would not want to make that generalization. I think that, you know, it just depends on the dog owner in general. I do know that, you know, with all of the publicity that goes on about the dogs, and, you know, there is certainly a certain sect of population that sees those dogs as moneymakers and nothing else, whether that be by breeding them or doing something else. And, you know, pit bulls tend to have large litters. So we're talking 10 to 12 dogs. So they just are multiplying at a ridiculous rate, and it's not specific to Las Vegas. If you look at shelters across the country, they're full of pit bulls, and that was, you know, that was one of the things that got me into this was when my other dogs passed away and we started looking for another dog to adopt. You know, the shelter was our first stop, and it had been 8 years since I had really perused what they had to offer, and it was pit bulls and chihuahuas. That was pretty much your choice. And, you know, I've had dogs my entire life, and they've always been big dogs, powerful breeds, working dogs. And my husband and I sat down and had a conversation and said, I don't think so. Pit bulls, they're lovely dogs. We know some, you know, some of our friends have them, but we don't want the stigma, and we don't want the liability,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we don't want the mm-hmm. stereotyping. So then that was, you know, that was something that we kind of had to take a look at ourselves and say, well, if you're really up to rescue those that need help, this would be them. So we did our
right.
did our research and educated ourselves, and that's how we kind of ended up in
gotcha.
The whole world.
Gotcha. And you're making a big difference. We're going to talk about your organization more later and about some of the resources that you can recommend. But let's talk about how pit bulls have gotten such a negative reputation, especially here in the United States, and then I want to talk about is it also around the world. But let's talk about our own home turf for a while. How have pit bulls gotten such a negative reputation?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to the media. You know, we are in an age where we're inundated with media, and there's a great book by an author named Karen DeLeese. It's called The Pit Bull Placebo, and it kind of takes a look at dog aggression and dog attacks through history. And what you really find in that book is that it used to be they would tell you all the facts of why the dog attacked. The dog was tethered. The dog was, you know, regularly abused by his owner. It was starved, whatever the case may be. And now it seems that the media tends to, you know, if it leads, it bleeds. So they're into sensationalizing and selling papers or, you know, having people visit their websites, whatever the case may be. So we've kind of gotten into the tendency to just jump to conclusions. You know, they say, oh, this dog looks like a pit bull, so it must be a pit bull. Let's just call it a pit bull. So that, you know, that one is not a positive thing to do. And they also tend to not really look at where the owner was and what level of responsibility the owner may have played in this. Was the, you know, owner being responsible? Was the dog unaltered, or was it allowed to roam? Was it socialized? Was it trained? You know, what are the factors that played into this?
Good point.
You know, certainly
yeah.
there are cases of dogs that have attacked people that have, you know, the owners have done everything right, and that's dogs among all breeds. And that goes back to what you said earlier about the breeding and all the circumstances that play into the temperament of that dog. You know, unfortunately,
yeah.
there are dogs that are not of sound temperament out there.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that because I know that there's an organization out there that's called the American Temperament Society. They give an American Temperament test.
Yes,
it's a national,
Temperament
it's also
Test
a nonprofit
Society.
Group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I believe they're from Missouri. And what they do is they are quote, in business to promote uniform temperament evaluations on all the different pure breeds and also a number of mixed breed dogs. And to give a simple test, it sounds very similar to the Canine Good Citizen test. It only takes about 12 minutes from what I understand. So the dog is put on a loose 6-foot leash, and then there's, I believe they have 3 trained evaluators to score the dog. And if the dog shows panic or strong avoidance without recovery or unprovoked aggression, they do not pass the test. This isn't something that people have to do. People do it, breeders do it, they do it at dog shows and things like that. But the interesting part, Jessica, is that the average overall pass rate on the American Temperament Test Society test is 83%. It can mm-hmm. it can vary for different breeds, okay? But and they also vary it based on the health and the age of the dog. They take that into account, and the dogs have to be, I think it's 18 months old. Well, here's the thing. American Pit Bull Terriers, and that's, by the way, what I consider a pit bull, the American Pit Bull Terrier, which is when you look at the classic face, that's a pit bull to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
They score above the average for passing this test at 86.4%.
Yes.
Yet, the all-American breed, the Beagle, is below average. They score barely over 80%. The Cocker Spaniel, the one that, you know, the dog that most people would think, oh, if I was going to get my kid a dog, it's going to be a Cocker Spaniel, 82%. And
sure.
Even one of my favorite breeds, the Golden Retriever, is under the Pit Bull Terrier at just about 85%. Chihuahuas, they're barely over 70%. How do we explain that and then go and say, wow, Pit Bull Terriers, bad temperament, keep them away from your, you know, your family and kids?
Right. And that's why, you know, part of our mission is to get people to look at dogs as individuals. You know, every breed has dogs that are not well adjusted. So, you know, we really need to look at the dog as an individual.
Yeah, absolutely true. By the way, my Golden Retriever should score 100. She's got the best temperament ever. Cassie, I love you. And my one that's got the Staffy mix in there, she's number 2. Maybe she's a 99. You know, what can I say? I'm a little prejudiced, huh? So this situation with the negative reputation, it really is not just in the United States, though. It's in cities and countries all around the world, right?
Yes, it sure is. It is. Spans the world. Some countries, they are, you know, completely banned, and others, they have things such as mandatory spay and neuter or mandatory licensure laws. It runs the gamut. And there are cities like Denver, Colorado, for example. They're probably the most famous city as far as breed-specific legislation, which is also known as BSL. And mm-hmm. Denver enacted a law that outlaws pit bulls in the city and county of Denver. And the reason that they did that was the city and county of Denver's bite rate incident is much higher than their neighboring county of Boulder County. And so they outlawed these dogs. And when they outlawed the dogs, the bite rate incident stayed the same. So mm-hmm. they're kind of missing, you know, it was a good idea in theory, I guess, but in actuality, it's not decreasing dog bites. So, you know, they're missing pieces of the puzzle. If
right.
you look at a
yep.
city like Calgary up in Canada, they have taken a very comprehensive breed-neutral approach. They used to, you know, up until 2006, their local shelters would not adopt out pit bull-type dogs. It was illegal. And then they mm-hmm. thought, you know, maybe we need to look at this a little bit closer and see, you know, what we're doing. So they have focused on education and owner responsibility. And amazingly enough, their bite rates have decreased.
And their
pit bull ownership is actually on the rise. So, you know, they get out there and educate the public. They do classes for mail carriers and meter readers and children and adults and anybody who's, you know, up for learning about safety safely interacting with dogs, and it's really been a successful program.
Yeah, that's great. We should all take a look at Calgary and see how they're doing it. Interestingly, when the pit bull's fighting reputation started getting really more intense through media and just, you know, urban myths, it really doesn't matter because there's lots of urban myths about all sorts of different types of animals. San Francisco SPCA, which is really a forerunner in so many areas, they were the actual, they were the organization that started doggy daycare back in the mid-90s because people weren't adopting any type of dogs because they were too busy and there was no room to exercise them. So they're very progressive. They started a free doggy daycare program, which has basically become the precursor to doggy daycare across the country. But about, I guess it was in the mid-90s, they relabeled pit bull terriers. They called them St. Francis Terriers so that they might be more readily adopted. And, in fact, they adopted out a lot of these new breeds that they called St. Francis Terriers. You know, on the same line, I know a gentleman that does wolf rescue, and he's really not allowed to call them wolves for a lot of reasons, zoning ordinances where he keeps them. So he calls them tundra shepherds. So gilding the lily on the name of the dog doesn't change the dog, but it's amazing how it changes the public's perception.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I've done my research about pit bulls, Jessica, and I'm sure you know this, but our listeners will probably like to know that, you know, these horrible, dangerous breeds of dogs have been owned by some very famous, gentle people, and I'm going to name a few of them. Michael J. Fox has owned pit bulls. Mel Brooks and his wife Anne Bancroft had owned pit bulls. The famous dancer Fred Astaire, he had pit bulls. Madonna, Barbara Eden, I Dream of Jeannie. Rachel Ray, of course, everybody knows about Isabu. She actually started a food line for her beloved pit bull. Mary Tyler Moore had pit bulls. And get this one, Helen Keller had a pit bull who she named Sir Thomas, and it was one of her constant companions for many years. And I don't hear any stories, read any articles, or otherwise am aware of any type of incidences with a person who, for all intents and purposes, was completely disabled, being, you know, blind, deaf, and dumb, yet she had this pit bull accompanying her and providing her with love, protection, attention. So go figure, huh?
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah,
Brad
really
Pitt, appropriately, Brad Pitt has had a pit bull for a long time, too. Brad Pitt. So there you go. Pitt has a pit. There you go. And, you know, we all know about Pitt. His pit, his face is beautiful. It's never been attacked, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, that was some of the fun I was telling you that I have to have when it comes to topics like this, because you got to lighten up, right? You just got to lighten up. You're a famous person, Jessica. You're now on Fervently Speaking. What are your pits' names?
Well, I have what I believe is a pit mix by the name of Duke, and I have another little pit bull whose name is Lewis.
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 All right.
Yes.
Well,
named
hello.
After
are they listening?
No, they're barking at the neighbor's dog.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Well, what can I tell you? Let's not let them, you know, get yelled at for being pit bulls who bark now, right? How horrible.
Oh, goodness.
I know that I asked you about this, and you weren't overly thrilled about discussing it, but I have to bring it up because there's an elephant in the studio. Let's talk about Michael Vick and that whole horrendous situation. Just give me 5 minutes on that. Do you think it helped or hurt pit bulls on the whole?
I think it did a little bit of both. I think that there are people that look up to him and the lifestyle that he leads and saw that is possibly an avenue for them to also exploit dogs and make a little bit of money, whether that be by breeding or fighting. I also think it did open the eyes of the public just a little bit to the dog fighting epidemic that, you know, is alive and well, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's definitely on the positive side, you know, brought about a lot of groups such as Incredible and other groups across the country who, you know, kind of saw the need for these dogs to be their image to be rehabilitated. So I think, it's done a little bit of both. I don't think that the general public has a real good understanding of what actually went on, at the Bad News Kennels. But just to say dog fighting is one thing, but to know exactly what, was going on and what those dogs were subjected to is unfortunate. I will tell you from personal experience, probably one of the turning points in me working in animal welfare and trying to find my niche was last October. I had the chance to meet Hector, who was seized from Michael Vick's Bad News Kennels, and he's now a certified therapy dog. And to see a dog who has been subjected to whatever he was subjected to, and Hector does have the scars to prove it, and to see him now be able to interact with other dogs in, an acceptable manner and work as a therapy dog and change people's minds is a great accomplishment. So that, that for me was a great turning point. So had it not been for Michael Vick, maybe I wouldn't have found my way to the pit bull world. So
yeah, there you go. And I know, weren't there something like 49 or 50 dogs that were recovered from that kennel? And
yeah.
We see so many great stories about what these dogs are doing, and they're in families with children and older people, and they're becoming therapy dogs. And I think that's the key. Because I think a lot of people have a misconception. Let's talk about one of the myths about pit bulls, that they're born to be mean. They're just born to be mean. And when you see a dog, it's a pit bull. And it's been actually used to fight. It's been trained to fight. It's been abused by other dogs and by people. And yet, with love, some rehabilitation, understanding, patience, they actually become these very contributing members of a family and to society, as in the case of a therapy dog. How could you possibly believe that pit bulls are born mean or to be mean?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing about that people need to know is that, the bottom line for pit bulls is they were born and bred to please people. They are the number one people pleaser. I've had a lot of dogs in my life, and I have never had dogs so eager to please you. They want to do whatever you want them to do. So if they're in your care and you want them to do something that is, dangerous, or, if you want them to fight, they'll do it, because they will do anything you tell them. So that's, that's kind of how they have been manipulated into that, when, that's how they are.
Yeah. I've got somebody who has emailed me a question about another myth that they heard about pit bulls, and they're not sure if you can answer or not, but is it true that pit bulls have locking jaws, and that's why they hurt so many people? Locking jaws.
That is not true. It is a myth. There have been several studies done on that. They don't have locking jaws. Their anatomy is no different than any other canine. If their anatomy for their jaw was different, they wouldn't be a canine. And if you look at our website, we actually have addressed that. There's been a University of Georgia study that looked into the structure of the skulls and the mandibles of the pit bulls, and there's nothing different. The thing that you have to remember about pit bulls is that they're very strong dogs. I mean, they're very muscular dogs. So if they are to bite, the damage that they can do is much greater than, say, a border collie. But nonetheless, no, their jaws are not locking.
Yeah, I know that their mere true breed name of being a pit bull terrier, terriers in and of themselves have very high prey drives. And as a result, when they latch onto something, and I don't mean physically latch onto with their teeth, but when they latch onto something they want to go after, be it a frisbee, a rabbit, it really doesn't matter what it is. The word dogmatic comes to mind. I mean, they are focused.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the short muzzles on a pit bull, and for some reason they tend to have this grab shake type of a response when they get something in their mouth. Am I saying that correctly? Like the catch grab shake,
yeah.
And they don't release. And that does seem to be something that is true of the pit bull type dogs. But that's just a very exaggerated terrier type of a trait.
Right. Yeah, but as far as, like, you know, their jaw strength, there's been studies, and they've, you know, tested the pit bull, they've tested the Rottweiler, German Shepherd, and actually they have, the pit bulls out of those three dogs were the lowest, had the lowest bite force of those three types of dogs. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow, that is something. All right, well, I want to get off of some of the negative stuff right now, just for a second. Why don't you give me some truths about pit bulls? Let's say no more myths. What are the truths about pit bulls?
They are extremely loving. Like I said, they're very loyal. They're people pleasers. They're athletic, and they're very, very smart. You covered some of the others about their temperaments and how well they score, you know, well above the average dogs. But, you know, really more than anything is that they are individuals. And we need to look at them, you know, regardless of the way they look. You know, they might have a big blocky head and be muscular, but we need to look at them as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Great. So you obviously do. You started a whole organization called Incredible, and what you do is something that I think is sort of revolutionary. I mean, I've not heard of it, but we'll talk about if there are any across the country, because we do broadcast nationally, in fact, internationally, but you are trying to restore the positive image of pit bull type dogs through education, awareness, and accessible services. So go further into that. Tell us more about Incredible.
Well, we do a variety of different things. We have a couple different programs. Some of the things that we do, we offer a low-cost training class. We have a wonderful trainer by the name of Danny Chavez, and we get together for a six-week class, and we go through kind of the basics of handling. It's a little bit different than your traditional dog obedience class. You know, we don't focus a lot on sit, down, stay. We found with most owners, they've already got that down. And their dogs, you know, everybody tells them, oh, my dogs are so well-behaved at home. They're so great at home, but they get them out in the world. And they're crazy. You know, they're barking at people. They're pulling them down the street. They're just being, they're not in their zone, so to speak. So
right.
We are working with owners. And like I said, Danny Chavez is our trainer to kind of tell people and show people how to safely interact and handle their dogs when they're out in public so that they can, you know, not be dragged down the street when walking. They can master the walk, and then they can go and out and enjoy their dogs. That's why they got dogs, and they want to be out in the community showing off their beautiful dogs. And so that's what we help them do. We don't discriminate against any breed. Every breed is welcome. We are firm believers that every dog, no matter what they look like or what the label is that is put on them, should be good dogs and should be well behaved. So we allow everybody to come.
Great.
We also are very adamant about spay and neuter. Spay and neuter is, in our minds, the way to combat the homeless dog population. You know, our local shelter took in over 6,000 pit bulls last year, and about 85% of those dogs were put down. So if we can get them to stop being born to die, that's part of the problem. So that's what we're looking at with the spay and neuter. And we've partnered with another organization here in Las Vegas known as Heaven Can Wait, and they've been around for about 10 years. And they have their own spay and neuter clinic, and we are currently subsidizing about 5 surgeries a week. We're also getting the dogs microchipped and up to date on their vaccines through that program.
Let me ask you a question. Where does the funding come for Incredible to do these things?
We are completely supported by the public through donations. You know, we don't. Nobody in our organization is paid. We're a volunteer-run organization, so all of our support is directly from the public. So, you know, it's through that support that we are able to implement and continue these programs.
Cool. And by the way, I just want to remind our listeners, I know Pete has had a couple of calls, and they've asked the questions. They didn't want to be on the radio, so I asked the questions for them. But if you're interested in joining this conversation about pit bulls or to speak with Jessica, the phone number is 917-388-4000. 4162. Feel free to call in, and if you're shy like those other callers were, just give Pete the question and he'll make sure it gets to us so that we can make sure that you get your answer. So, okay, so self-funded, that's great. And you do meetup groups, don't you?
We do, yeah. That's another kind of fun side to the incredible organization is we have a meetup group, and we encourage responsible owners and even admirers to come out and go out on social outings and hikes, and we do all kinds of different things. We found that we can sit there and talk to people and tell them how great pit bull type dogs are until we're blue in the face. We could tell them that all day. But to actually get out with a large group of dogs, there's nothing that will change someone's mind like seeing, a dozen well-behaved pit bulls strolling down the street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, picture, or in this case, a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? I mean, you've got to make sure that they see it. I'm presuming then from what you're saying that Las Vegas does not have any BSL, breed-specific legislation, that would prohibit gatherings of pit bulls or ownership of pit bulls.
That's correct. We don't have any BSL. Okay. Nevada itself has a very good kind of blanket general dangerous dog law that is not breed specific.
Okay. And by the way, that's just responsible. I mean, I think that keeps everybody honest, especially it should be keeping the owners honest and hopefully irreputable breeders who are not breeding for temperament. They only care about what the animal looks like and not about the way that it's going to be able to function in society. So I applaud Las Vegas for that. I mentioned before that I didn't think there were other organizations like Incredible around, but is that true? Were there others that you can recommend or resources that you could recommend to people to be able to learn more and have people appreciate their love affair with pit bulls?
There is actually many groups throughout the country that are doing just what we are doing. Incredible is kind of, I call it a copycat organization. We're not reinventing the wheel. We've taken what we're doing and kind of modeled it after what a lot of groups that have been around for a while throughout the country are doing and have done and have been successful with that. And when we initially started Incredible, we reached out to some of those groups. And they were very, very helpful in pointing us the right way as far as resources or sharing their experiences with us so that we didn't have to go through some of the same growing pains that they did. So
That's great.
Yeah, there's all kinds of groups out there.
What about if somebody out there doesn't know one in their area? Would they Google pit bull rehab? What would be the best way for people to find it in their area?
I would probably maybe pit bull education or pit bull advocacy, maybe even pit bull rescue. Incredible itself doesn't do any rescue, but many of the groups, probably I would say about 90% of the groups around the country that do education and advocacy and services such as we do, they also do rescue. So I would maybe even look under pit bull rescue in your community.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. And let me just ask you this question. Let's get some words of advice for people who are considering adding a pit bull to the family, or any dog, but because we're talking pit bulls and there are some considerations, what kind of advice can you give our listeners?
Well, first I would hope that you recognize that you're making a lifetime commitment. It is a big deal to bring a dog into your life. So I would recommend that you certainly do your research. Go to credible websites or books at your local library and find out about pit bulls. Find out about their history. Find out about their temperaments. Find out about if you think they'd be a good match for yourself. You also need to be honest with yourself. If you're a couch potato, then maybe a young, super energetic pit bull is not for you because they're going to end up eating the couch that you're sitting on. That's something that I would certainly do is, like I said, be honest with yourself. And number one, regardless of what kind of dog you are getting, adopt a dog from a local shelter or rescue. And then I'd say, just get clear about the qualities that you're looking for in a dog. Like I said, you want to do a nice energy match. I've had people come to me and say, oh, I want to get this dog. I said, well, it's really high energy. What's your lifestyle? Like, well, I need to get out there and be more active.
Right. Yeah.
They're not already
and,
active.
Yeah. If I want to get active, that's one thing. But be realistic. If you've been saying that for 40 years, it's probably not going to happen just because you get a dog or a pit bull. And,
exactly.
You know, I used to say there is nothing cuter than a golden retriever puppy. But I think pit bull puppies, I mean, you know, seriously, I know that I interact on Facebook with a number of different groups, and they call them pit bulls. And they are. You look at them. They've got these pibbly little faces. Jessica, they are adorable. But puppies aren't for everyone. And
no.
And pit bull puppies become big pit bulls. So they're not. You don't. I don't think there's a miniature pit bull strain out there yet, specifically.
No.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. They. You know, puppies are cute, but you have to remember. You know, about the work that they take. You've got a lot of socialization to do. A lot of training. You know, just general training, potty training. When you're adopting a more mature dog, you have a better idea of what you're getting. You know, when you adopt a
right.
puppy, it's very hard to tell what that dog mm-hmm. is going to be like, what its personality is going to be like, and if it's a good fit for you. And the great thing about pit bulls is, you know, even if you get a pit bull that's a year or two old, they typically don't reach full maturity until they're about three. So you still have a little bit of that puppy disposition, but you don't have
right.
all the other uncertainties that come with it.
Right, that's
excuse
true. And another question just came through about that,
Kelly.
Which is, yes, Pete, is that you?
Kelly. Yes, you've got a caller on the line. I'll connect her now. It's Allison, and she would like to know if Incredible is doing anything as far as outreach into schools for children. So here is Allison.
Hi, is Allison. You? How are you? Thank you for calling Fervently Speaking. Have you been enjoying the show?
I have. Thank you for having Jessica on today. That's very interesting.
Well, I'm glad you are you a pit bull mother by any chance?
I'm a pit bull grandmother.
Ah, there you go. Okay. I'm glad that you say it proud. So, you know, yesterday was National Coming Out Day, and I think that the pit bull parents and grandparents got to come out today. Let's make October 12th Pit Bull Coming Out Day. How about that?
Sounds
there
like a
go.
Great day to me.
So, Allison, what is your question?
I was just wondering, Jessica hasn't, I know she's doing awareness. Is she also going into schools or working with community groups with children and adults to go out and give educational seminars as far as what Incredible does about pit bulls?
Oh, that
yes.
would be great. Jessica, what about that? Thank you,
we
Allison.
Thank you. We are doing educational outreach as well. Pretty much anywhere that will have us, we would be happy to go. And we do have a variety of different educational programs that some of our wonderful volunteers have been working on. And they range from children to adults as far as educating people. And one thing that we are working on is getting a couple of our dogs therapy certified so that they can accompany us to those educational
yep.
outreach events, because that's, you know, nothing says this is a good dog than having a good dog with you.
Absolutely true. And I'm glad that that was asked, because the outreach, even for people, some people don't even know, you know, it's amazing. Some people don't even know about the articles and about the bad things about pit bulls. And then they think about getting one, or they get one, and then they're up for actually having to become advocates and battle breed discrimination. So the more we
yes.
can tell them, the more armed they are without them just going, well, I don't know, he's a good dog. And so what about that? Do we all become these, you know, these holy rollers for pit bulls now?
Well, I don't think it's just about pit bulls. The thing about breed discrimination is that at any given time, that can change to another type of dog. You know, we've seen it with the German Shepherds. We've seen it with the Dobermans. So, you know, the pit bull is just kind of the dog du jour, so to speak. So, you know, for dog owners in general to contact their local legislators and really fight for a blanket kind of non-breed specific laws as far as dogs go in their communities is important, because like I said, you know, for your golden retriever, it could, you know, something could happen and somebody says, oh no, those golden retrievers, they're dangerous and we should outlaw them, and then all this hysteria builds and then the golden retrievers find themselves in the same situation that the pit bull is currently in.
Yep, and you know that often happens after there's a movie out that shows a certain breed, and there's a big influx of that type of breed, 101 Dalmatians and the Golden Retrievers with the Buddy series, and you name it, you know, the Beverly Hills Chihuahua. And what starts to happen is breeders that who are not scrupulous breeders start to do it strictly for the money. Too many of them get out. They're inbred. They're overbred. They're not temperament bred. And then we start getting these rash of stories about problems with the breeds. And so, yeah, definitely important that we keep our eyes open for things like that, not go with the trends. And I feel that you've given us a lot of great information about pit bulls and about your organization in general. That's incredible in Las Vegas. Why don't you give us your website and contact information?
Our website is incredible.org. That's INCREDABULL.org. And all of our contact information can be found on there. We have links to our meetup page as well as links to our Facebook page. You can send us an email, and you can find out about all the programs that we are currently offering.
That is fabulous. And if anybody out there is interested in maybe starting an organization like Incredible across the country, I get the feeling Jessica will be wagging her tail to get that information into your hands. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely. We're always happy to share information and resources.
Good girl. Good girl. Pat on the head to you. Any other information that you'd like to share, anything we didn't ask, or just anything you want to leave our listeners with about the joys of pit bull or the myths and rehabilitation of America's view about pit bulls?
Well, I think we've covered everything. Just more than anything, want your listeners to, when they think about pit bulls, think about dogs. They're just dogs, just like any other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to thank you very much for joining us today. I wish you good luck with your continued endeavor to restore the positive image of pit bull type dogs through Las Vegas and across the country. And I'm looking forward to hearing great stories about Incredible. Thank you so much. Jessica,
welcome.
And have a wonderful day. Make sure you give your two pits a nice kiss from us. Compliments
of
Fervently Speaking. All right.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you, Jessica. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was definitely an important, interesting, and I think fun 45 minutes of information about pit bulls. And everybody is welcome to send me emails. topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com, or you could look me up on Facebook. Go to Fervently Speaking on Facebook, or just my regular personal page, Eileen Proctor, and I will be more than happy to continue this dialogue. And please don't forget to check out Incredible. It's www.incred-a-bull.org. But something that Jessica said stands out in my mind. It was almost as if I paid her to say it, and she said, please consider adopting. You know, the rally cry of the top dog is adoption is the best option. And so I'd like to tell you that October is the American Humane Association's Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. And it is the time of the year that we want everybody to really think about adding a little love to their hearts and their homes by bringing a shelter dog into their lives. What can an adopt-a-dog bring into your life? Well, you know, there are as many responses to that question as there are dogs in the world. So during the American Humane Association's Adopt a Shelter Dog Month, which is every October, I'm going to encourage people to do a lot of different things to spread the word. And obviously, find your own answers to that question. So here's some fun, easy ways to celebrate Adopt a Shelter Dog Month with your dog or without your dog. If you've got a dog and you've already adopted him, why don't you throw a gotcha day party and celebrate the day that you got your dog. I've got four, so I'm going to be partying hardy all month. But what you really want to do is have this gotcha day, invite your friends, let them know how wonderful it is to have an adopted dog, invite your guests to bring something to donate to the local shelter or rescue group, and encourage them to adopt a shelter dog. Spread the word about Adopt a Shelter Dog Month, and you can do that on your Facebook, Twitter, your blog, at the end of any of your emails. Write a letter to the editor and send it to the local paper. But spread the word. There are tens of thousands of of dogs and cats. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not being a breed snob here, but because it's Adopt a Shelter Dog Month, I'm talking dogs. Tens of thousands of dogs of all breeds, purebred, mixed breed, puppies, older dogs, you name them, and they're in the shelter most times for no fault of their own. So let's spread the word. Attend some type of an event at your local shelter. This is a great month for dog walks or other types of fundraisers. So get involved. Make your own personal donation to a local shelter or rescue group. It doesn't always have to be money, by the way. Sometimes they've got wish lists that involve blankets and towels and chew toys and food. So find out what your local shelter needs to continue to do their important life-saving work. Maybe a great time for you to sign up as a foster parent or a shelter volunteer and see what goes into making sure that these pets are well taken care of until they find their new forever homes. Sign up to walk dogs once a week during your lunch or taking a foster dog. And I don't know, maybe you'll flunk fostering. Maybe you'll wind up adopting that dog, but get some dogs out of the shelter. Post a picture of your beloved adopted dog on your Facebook wall and just, you know, talk them up and make show everybody how proud you are. And, of course, I'm a big advocate. Like I said, the best thing I ever did when I had a dog was adopt the second. And once I got the second, it was to get the third. And then from the third, it was the fourth. And I can't say enough about multiple dog households. They're wonderful. So check out dog adoption sites. Go to petfinder.org. Visit your local sites. Those of you in Phoenix, Arizona, which is where I live, PAC911.org is listing a number of great adoption events that are coming up. And we've got Tales of the Season that is being done. If anybody has any questions about finding the dog of your dreams, the top dog is here to help you and direct you into the proper area. Remember, October, Adopt a Dog Month. No better time to add that fun and fur to your home and your family. So you've been listening to Fervently Speaking, and we appreciate that so very much. Thank you for those of you who did participate by sending in your questions or calling in and having Pete field those questions for you. We'll be back again in another 2 weeks. That's the last Wednesday of October for another fun and fur-filled episode of Fervently Speaking on blogtalkradio.com. Boomer and the Babe Station. So make sure that you're tuning in. If you've got any ideas, suggestions, or comments about the show, send them to me, the top dog. It's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And as always, reminding you, adoption is the best option, and give all of your fur kids a big kiss from their Aunt Eileen. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor. To find out more about today's topic or to suggest one for a future show, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And be sure to tune in every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for another fun and fur-filled episode right here on the Boomer and the Babe Station on Blog Talk Radio. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Productions, www.boomerandthebabe.com.